Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL betting guide is out now, and our college football betting guide is coming in a couple of weeks. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and a full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl for this early bird discount of $175 American. Or sign up on a monthly subscription and get your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything VSiN has up to up your betting game. Offer ends on July the 31st, though, so don't miss out on these preseason deals. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get on over there. Get that. $175. Kelly, there's a little bit of confusion, and I've seen this, and I just want to clarify. People go, why would I pay the $175 when it's $19? Like, you know, that's the introductory, like, dip your toe in $19, and then it goes to, like, whatever the regular price is after that. It's only for a month, the $19. The $175 saves you money over the course of now to the end of the Super Bowl. Just take our word for it.
And it gets you everything.
Yes. Just take our word for it with that.
That's right.
I heard people go like, no, I'll just pay the $19 a month and whatever. Like, no, it's not $19. It's $19 for the first month, and then it goes to regular price after that.
Yeah, Sean.
So we have to just kind of we have to explain this, because like I'm like, you know what? You have a point if it was only $19 a month, but that's not the case. So go ahead, get that pro subscription. And listen, the main thing that you kind of get in all of this outside of just, you know, all of the Bill AD goes in and does this ridiculous recap email every single day. So you don't have to sit and listen to every single show to get every single pick. And so that's another thing that you get with the VSiN Pro subscription. Totally worth it. Go ahead. It's worth it. All right, so let's talk to Paul Spohr, your friend and mine, over at Fangraphs. If you're not reading and listening to his content, what is your problem? You can find him all over the place at Spohr as well. Paul, how's it going, buddy?
It's going very well. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I need to ask you a hypothetical because, listen, we're in hypothetical season, okay? The drumbeat is getting a little bit louder now that the Angels are flipping out of contention for even a wild card spot of, hey, what do the Angels do with Shohei Ohtani? I think you and I, if we sat here just in our rational minds, that if we were GMs of this team, we would understand that the best thing for the franchise overall would be to get something back for Shohei as opposed to just let him walk. We could say, oh, he's going to get compensatory picks, but we know how baseball picks work. Like, it's not like NFL first round picks, right? I mean, it is hit and miss, certainly. So you want something in return. Do you think this is actually going to happen? Do we think we see Shohei Ohtani in a different uniform at some point this season?
I think the percentage chance is pretty high. I wasn't thinking that like Washington was necessarily going to trade Soto. And of course it's two different organizations, two different situations, but I'm certainly more open to teams trading these big pieces now, understanding that if they're just going to lose them, like you said, and get nothing, that is way more damaging than taking that kind of massive PR hit of, wow, we traded this guy. You know, Boston tried to do the same with Betts. They flopped on that. They also are Boston. They have no reason to have to not pay somebody like a Betts. But, you know, we've seen it work on the negative end there. I do think Nats fans, as much as they love Soto and as great as he is, they realize how far away they were and have some favor toward that Soto trade, at least in terms of the way it's looking with some of the returns that they got. You know, Gore pitching pretty well this year at times. You've got James Wood as a big time prospect, Robert Hassel. So it really depends what they can get to. It is still a rental of Ohtani, but it's one of the greatest players we've literally ever seen. So it still has to be a pretty massive return. I think they really, really, really have to entertain it. They got to see what the offers are out there. It's just such a mess right now with them, you know, Trout back on the IL, them fading again after a decent start is the same old story, Groundhog Day over there. So before he walks, because we know they're not going to sign Ohtani, they do need to consider trading him.
Yeah, and I think what we look at here, you certainly remember when Shohei was coming over here, the landscape has changed as well, because if you listen to people, we don't really hear directly from the horse's mouth and stuff like this, but we hear people who are close to him who we know when he came over, the Angels were just a benefit of location, geography, right? He wanted to be on the West Coast, and that narrows down, you know, a vast majority and eliminates a ton of the teams. From what we're hearing is maybe that whole needing to stay on the West Coast thing might be kind of fading a little bit, and he might be opening to signing basically anywhere. And if that's the case, it is a rental, Paul, but it's also like, hey, you can kind of get your foot in the door as well,
and
right?
With
that. And so I think that that's another thing that some of these teams have to consider.
Yeah, I think the most serious teams on the trade should be the ones that are looking to sign him. Now, you do have to pay draft trade capital and then the contract, but you're also getting 2 months of him in October if you're a true contender. So there's a lot of benefits there. The price is really what's going to drive it. It's going to be substantial. You're not getting away giving some poo-poo platter of mid and low tier prospects. There's going to have to be a big A-plus piece in there to make it worth it for the Angels. But I do think it is going to be worth it for a team to do that. And obviously, there's been so much chatter about the Dodgers. They kept their powder dry this year for Ohtani. They're still a remarkably stocked farm system. They could do the deal and, of course, get the contract done next year. There's not a ton of teams that can do that, but obviously those are the teams that should really be involved here. I think if you just rent him with the, fully thinking that it's going to be a rental and we're not really going to competitively try to sign him next year, I worry about that because the draft capital is going to be, or trade capital is going to be substantial for Ohtani.
So Paul, from a betting standpoint here, I mean, he is the overwhelming favorite to win the MVP, but there is a non-zero chance that a National League team could in fact make the trade for him. I mean, we know that at least the Mets have been floated out there. You just mentioned the Dodgers. There's a couple of other teams as well who knows when it's all said and done. So what would then the American League MVP market look like in your opinion?
A free-for-all, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start talking Robert, Franco, a Texas guy, whether you're Semien. Adelis Garcia has the war. He's up there in that mix. I am more of a Semien guy. I think a Jose Ramirez puts himself back in the picture. Then you got guys on all these teams that are either fully in competition or fringe competitors, and the narratives are going to be written down the stretch. It becomes such a wide open field. I don't even know who I'd handicap as the top guy. If you're just going straight Fangraphs war, it's Luis Robert by a shred, 0.1. That's literally nothing over Wander Franco. So, and that's, you know, that's a competitive team and a non-competitive team, which I don't believe that the MVP can be on a bad team if they're the best player, because it's just the most valuable. But we know those narratives get written where it can lean away from the guy on the lesser team, especially if he's not heads and shoulders above. That becomes a tiebreaker that works in the favor. So I would start to look at the Rays and Rangers guys and kind of pick my favorite from there. And maybe you do it early here on a spec with like a quarter or a half unit bet in the hopes that Ohtani gets dealt, because obviously the prices are going to change drastically the moment he's dealt out of the American League, if and when he is. I think it also changes the Cy Young market a little bit. Ohtani's not the favorite for the Cy Young right now, but he's in the mix. Mm-hmm. So that would also alter those that bet market as well.
The American League East is certainly very interesting, right? I mean, we have every team over 500 and you know, some of these teams, of course, the Yankees who are in the cellar, the Red Sox who are tied with them at 50 and 44 would actually be leading the Central if they were in the Central. So we have a really, really good division here. Tampa up by one on the Orioles. When you look at how this is all going to play out here, Paul, what do you think eventually is going to be the team to win the division, and how many of these teams end up making the playoffs?
I think they can send three. A lot of it's going to depend on how the trade deadline goes, which I know is an unsatisfying answer because it is a full, right. It depends when it's this close. You know, the Rays have been hemorrhaging a stud starter seemingly like every 6 weeks, and it's really hard to keep up pace when you're doing that. And now we see that there they are just one game ahead of Baltimore right now, six ahead of Toronto. So they're not a guarantee at all. I really, really do like this Baltimore team. They seem to call up a stud prospect every 6 weeks. They've got some interest pitching. If they go out and get another like frontline-ish arm, maybe not a superstar top tier, but like another guy who can miss bats consistently, be up there with Kyle Bradish and Tyler Wells, I really, really like where Baltimore's at. I think they're probably my favorite right now, even though they are behind Tampa Bay. I just worry, you know, is Tampa Bay going to add pieces? The constant losses are tough. Of course, McClanahan gets back, but losing Rasmussen and Springs, they seem to always have somebody ready to backfill, but I am starting to get worried about how that pitching is looking, especially with Taj Bradley not really filling in one of the roles. When Springs and Rasmussen got hurt, you thought Bradley would cover one of them, and then it's a McClanahan-Bradley 1-2 punch. We're not necessarily seeing that. I think they're still a good team. I still think they make the playoffs, but I like the O's to win the division.
Paul, I always run out of time with you. I enjoy sitting here talking baseball. So we've only got about 30 seconds. Do you have any bets in the account for today?
Nothing going yet today. Okay. I'm looking at the short slate, but I haven't really given it a deeper thought yet. It's an interesting pitching slate because there's a lot of good guys out there. I was doing my fantasy rundown of it. There's only like four guys that I wouldn't recommend in any sort of fantasy capacity. So I think it's going to be an interesting board, but I haven't done my deep dive yet.
He is Paul Sporer. You can find him on all the platforms out there at Sporer. And Paul, always enjoy the time, buddy. I really do enjoy talking baseball with you. Hopefully we do it again this summer.
Matt, great talking with you. Take care.
Shohei Ohtani, and where could he end up? We are going to hear that on every single talk show for the next 2 weeks. It is going to happen. Like, it's going to be crazy whenever we take a look at Shohei Ohtani and what he could mean to a team's playoff hopes. We'll get back to the NFL here on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention BetMGM customers, if you have a friend who loves sports as much as you do, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your app, click on the Refer a Friend program button, and send your friend a message inviting them to register an account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of older or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards are issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets do expire after 30 days. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. So, Kelly, let's swing back around to the NFL. And I don't want to blow past the whole DeAndre Hopkins thing and certainly what that means for the AFC South. And we look at these odds and over... Listen, this was drifting. People get excited about moves and excited about trades. And so the stuff was coming in fast and furious yesterday. It seems like maybe the market has gone back around and started to correct itself at least a little bit as we take a look at these different things. But it's 155 on the Jag, now 350 on the Titans over at DraftKings. And it seems at MGM, maybe you get a little bit better number on all of that. So I take a look at this and I say, the Jags, to me, still have the best roster in the division. The Jags still have the highest chance of winning this division. Does this bring the Titans a little bit closer to them? I think a little bit closer, for sure. Having to not rely on Treylon Burks as your number one option and having him be able to kind of settle in as your, let's call him a 1B. Let's call it 1A, 1B. I don't think he'll be a true number two, because I do think that the best days of DeAndre Hopkins are behind us. So now you have Treylon Burks, who the pressure of trying to be a true number one is a little bit alleviated for him. If you're Ryan Tannehill, having more weapons certainly is good for you. If you're Derrick Henry, got to be better to have some more threats out there on the wide receiver side. So yes, I do think that Mason's team's better. Now, does it make them so much better where I think that it's a realistic shot for them to win this division? I can't quite get there through all of this, because at the end of the day, it's still Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball. If Ryan Tannehill is not going to be the guy, it's still going to be Will Levis, who's a rookie, who's going to be throwing the ball. So for me, I still like the Jags here, Kelly. I think if anything, maybe a Treylon Burks receiving prop, I actually think is better now than it was before. I would be looking more towards an over, and I know that seems counterintuitive. And yeah, there will be a couple less targets heading his way, but they'll probably be higher quality targets. Like, they're probably going to be targets in which he's getting the second best defender on him as opposed to the best defender, or not getting double teamed because they don't care about the other receivers that are on the field and them getting hurt. So if anything, I kind of think this helps Treylon Burks, certainly. And it's only like a 675 and a half number that's tagged on him right now from a receiving aspect. And like, I think this is probably good for him. I think he did, you know, less pressure, secondary defenders, maybe less double teams, all the different things that you're looking for whenever you're trying to get an over from a receiving prop standpoint.
Yeah, I'm with you. It takes away some of the double teams even he might see this year, because, and you might want to chuckle at that at home, but that wide receiver room was pretty bleak before DeAndre Hopkins got at it. Yeah. So, I think his presence on the field is only going to open things up for Treylon. Even if a quarterback change occurs, I don't know if that really hurts him as much, because you're still going to be playing him a ton. Levis, if you think gets in there, you're probably going to want to see more out of his arm to begin with than what you would have seen out of Tannehill to start the season anyway. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting bet. And I don't know what range you were looking for. When it hit 150 yesterday, I got back in on the Jags. I added to my Jags position. Mm-hmm. That's where I had initially bet it at, was right in that range. I'm like, look, if this gets back to this, it doesn't really change that much for mm-hmm. me. What do I think this probably does for the Titans is just extend the amount of time they think they have hope with how the roster's currently constructed.
And like I said earlier, I do think it does kind of separate them at least a little bit more from the Colts and a little bit more from the Texans. So that does make you look at that 7.5 win total at least a little bit harder, because that's four games you're talking about. I mean, like that you get four games between the Colts and the Texans. And so if you already thought that this Titans team was better than the Colts and the Texans, which I imagine anyone and everyone did already, and if this separates them a little bit more, well, then now these games become much more winnable, and that's four of the eight games you need to get to the over, right? Are there four more wins on that schedule? And that's for you to determine, but mm-hmm. I think that's at least a number for you to look at and say, okay, maybe this doesn't make me think that they're going to win this division any more than it is, but hey, if I'm a little bit better against the Colts, I'm a little bit better against the Texans, that's four of the eight that I've got to get to an over on the 7.5 number. And I think that's at least maybe where you can start looking at the Titans if you do want to place a bet on this team, given the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is coming to town.
Yeah, one of the other things you and I often talk about, but it's the – I like the Jags. I love the Jags in this division. I still love it even after the DeAndre Hopkins trade. If you want to tell me you love the Titans in this division and you want to make a division bet at plus 350, plus 380 in that range, wherever it's at, it's hard for me to hate on it, Matt, simply because this is really a two-team division, right? Yeah. Like, it's not that you got to go out there and beat three other teams. All you got to do is go out and beat the Jags, or maybe the Jags beat themselves. You know, and what I mean by that is maybe an injury occurs or something like that, and this Titans team all of a sudden is, wow, there's really nobody in front of us. That could happen. That's part of the reason why I'm making the Jags bet, and that's part of the reason why out there, if you're making a Titans bet, why you would be making one.
If you're watching at home, we're going to pull up the Titans schedule, and this is why it makes it a very difficult team to bet, because there are other factors in play here. So if you want to bet, the easy thing would be, Kelly, where I just go, hey, if you want to bet the over on the season win total for the Titans, wait until the bye week and then come in and bet it after that, right? I mean, because they start out on the road at the Saints, then it's Chargers, Browns, Bengals. Now, you do get the Colts in week five, but then it's Ravens as well. You're looking through the first 6 weeks of the season where this team could easily be 2-4. 1-5 is not out of the realm of possibility. And 3-3, I think, would be the very, very, very best case scenario for them. And I don't think that that's very likely either. So after the bye, you do now come out of the bye game against the Falcons. We don't know exactly how good Desmond Ridder is going to be. That game is certainly winnable. The Steelers, while I think they are a better team, and I'm actually probably a little higher on the Steelers than a lot of people are, that's not a game in which you look at it and think that that's no way we're going to win that. Mm-hmm. Then you get the Bucks, who are going to be down, who are going to be one of the worst teams in the league for sure. Panthers in week 12, still a rookie quarterback. And then is where you get those backloaded games against the Colts and the Texans, right? The problem being, if you're as bad as we think that maybe they're going to be, or if this schedule really goes against you, now you might be having to win those games with Will Levis as opposed to Ryan Tannehill. Yep. So that is why this team is so hard for me, at least to make a preseason bet. I kind of need to feel how things are going. What's the scuttlebutt about? Are they going to stick with Tannehill? Is Levis making progress as far as like getting started? Right? Like, all of those different things are going to have to, I'm going to have to soak in over the course of the season before I can actually play this team, because the wins are kind of backloaded there. It's Colts Texans twice from week 13 on, that week 18 game against the Jags. The Jags might have nothing to play for by the week 18 game when that rolls around. So you might be getting Jags back up. So that might end up being a much more winnable game for them as well. But again, that's all backloaded. It's certainly after the bye week, and I can't come in on any sort of preseason something until we get past week 7.
Yeah, I mean, and how that breaks down, I think they're a perfect example. If you're someone who breaks up the schedule, right, and looks at it in third. So what, they have the 9th easiest schedule by win totals in the NFL this year, but they have the 4th toughest in those first 6 weeks, right? So perfect example of, if you're in on a Tennessee bet, maybe you want to wait till then and hop in then, where you actually see what this team is looking like and how they're going to attack the rest of the season as far as their quarterback situation.
It wasn't the only news to come out of this division either. Evan Engram, who was on the franchise tag, does get signed to a 3-year extension there with this Jaguars team. Certainly looked like the guy that looked like the best version of himself, certainly with this Jags team. And I think a very important piece in all of this, you know, whenever we look at this Jags team and think that they are the team that's going to win this division, the team that possibly could win 10 games. We're looking at 9.5 win total for this Jags team. And Evan Engram, a very important part of all of that. If for nothing more, then again, same thing we were talking about with DeAndre Hopkins there in Tennessee. It opens up things. Look, Calvin Ridley's coming back for the Jags as well. And so now the more threats you have out on the field, the more it's going to get some of these other guys open. So that was something that did come out. And, you know, we're going to be watching today pretty heavily, Kelly. I mean, listen, there are some big names out there who are not happy with their contract situations. And we've only got a few hours to find out if they're going to be made happy or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, the two big ones on the top of that list. And man, Saquon, it sounds like they're not even close to it with, right? Like
the everything we are hearing is basically that the Giants are more than happy to pay him the franchise money, see how it goes, and then deal with this after the season. And Saquon really does want to get a long-term deal. And he's threatened that he would sit out. Now, listen, we have seen this go very, very south. Le'Veon Bell, by the way, let's just talk about that. Like, sitting out, not really working in one's favor. That being said, Saquon is a little bit younger, certainly a little bit more explosive than Le'Veon did when he decided to do all of this. I just don't know if he's actually going to sit out or if this is just kind of one of those empty threats. We'll find out. And again, only a few hours until these guys can either sign those franchise tags or get some sort of extension deal done. Kelly's been out at the NBA Summer League. We're going to get his final thoughts here on how this thing wraps up when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of sounds that you might hear. You could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. You could also hear the sound of first responders desperately trying to save you. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral, because if you drive over the speed limit, you could do damage that's beyond repair. One way or another, speeding catches up to you. This is paid for by NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Association. Kelly, I got to admit, this NFC South, I'm looking at it. I'm much more of an LSU guy than I'm a Saints guy. Everyone knows I'm from Louisiana, so it is what it is. Like, you basically are a Saints fan. You're born into that. But I'm more LSU than I am Saints. So I don't live and die by what happens with the Saints franchise or anything like that. And so you look, the Derek Carr stuff, he comes in. Now you find them as the betting favorite for this division, in a division which I actually think any one of the teams could end up winning. And I'm being dead on, even the Bucs. Like, I think the Bucs are, on paper, one of the worst teams in the NFL. But would it surprise me if Baker Mayfield channels some sort of something that looks at least decent on offense with a guy like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin? That wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. And again, I don't think that this division is crazy good at all. I actually think it's probably going to be the worst division in all the NFL. So you see the Saints with a win total, which I think is a little high at 9.5, Falcons at 8.5, Panthers at 7.5, and then the Bucs are sitting at 6.5. If you look at the division odds, +120 for the Saints to take it down, 215 for the Falcons, 4-1 on the Panthers, and 8-1 on the Bucs. You don't want to bet any of these teams to win the conference, but if you do, 13-1 Saints, 28-1 Falcons, 40-1 on the Panthers, 45-1 on the Bucs, and then to win it all, 40-1 on the Saints, 60-1 on the Falcons, 70 on the Panthers, and then 80 on the Bucs. I am looking beyond the Saints. And when I look beyond the Saints, Kelly, it's mainly because I see a path for any of these teams to be mediocre and still win this division. I think there are many more things that can go wrong for the Saints than people are even kind of realizing. I mean, listen, yes, Chris Olave was awesome. No doubt about that. And we're just assuming there's going to be someone else there to come along for the ride, but that's not necessarily the case here. We know Alvin Kamara's already got his stuff that he's dealing with, though he did plead out and all that. And we'll see what ends up happening with that. Michael Thomas has not been healthy in a couple of different seasons now, so we don't really know what he looks like. If he's going to be a shell of what he used to be, that could certainly be the case. Maybe Desmond Ridder is actually good. Maybe this Falcons team with all of these skill position talents does actually take that next step. I mean, you've got Kyle Pitts, you've got Drake London, you just got Bijan Robinson. Maybe this Falcons team, if Desmond Ridder is at least league average, is good enough to win this division. What if Bryce Young steps in as a rookie and he can just play kind of at league average? You look around, the Panthers made moves this offseason, Kelly, that lead me to believe that they think that they can win this division. And if you don't go sign an Adam Thielen and a Miles Sanders and all this, like, those are not build towards the future with your young quarterback guys. Those are, hey, let's step in with some seasoned veteran dudes who, when we need to, can step up and maybe assist our rookie quarterback. But we think that that might be good enough to win this division. That's kind of what I saw anyway in the offseason moves from the Panthers. And I don't think that that's really all that far off. They've got a pretty good defense. And if Bryce Young is what we think Bryce Young could possibly be, they could win this division. I think that's well within the range of outcomes.
Yeah, that's kind of where I would lean to. If I don't think I'll have a bet in this division, but I don't think that there should be that big of a separation, at least between the Falcons and Panthers and what we're seeing on the odds for them to win that division. I think there's some people I respect that I know that are betting the Falcons this year in this division. I just don't fully get it. I think you're expecting a big leap forward from Desmond Ridder that we just really haven't seen.
Yeah.
And if you're asking me kind of blindly to bet on a Bryce Young or a Desmond Ridder, and if that's the big difference that you see between those two teams, like, I'm rolling with Bryce Young, I think, over Ridder going into this season, you know, despite him not having played a single down.
I mean, we're not talent scouts, but if you listen to the guys say he's as polished of a quarterback as we've seen in quite some time to come in and take over and be ready to lead a squad. And so what we have here basically, though, is – are these guys that we think are going to be good around him going to be good enough? Because they bring back in DJ Chark. And when DJ Chark actually has been healthy in the NFL, he's produced pretty well. The problem is he's been dealing with a ton of injuries all over the place. And so can he stay healthy for Bryce Young this year? They bring in Adam Thielen, who, under the radar, had a pretty decent little year last year. Didn't blow anybody away, but had a decent little year. And now you get the stuff coming out of camp. It's all roses and rainbows and unicorns coming out of camp this time of year. I get that. But that him and Adam Thielen have a real rapport. Adam Thielen, I think, is going to kind of play the safety blanket role there for this team. And that seems to be what we're hearing out of camp, that he might get a ton of targets here. They're all going to be super high percentage targets and super low ADOT targets. I mean, he might be running 4 yards and turning around, but that seems to be kind of the role that he's okay with playing here for Bryce Young. And then Terrace Marshall, if you don't remember Terrace Marshall, was awesome at LSU, second round pick for this team. And then really he got his rookie season, ended up getting hurt, didn't play for a few games, and then never really got in the swing of things over the last couple of years. That being said, again, it's all rainbows and unicorns right now, but apparently he's as healthy as he's ever been and looks really good working with Bryce Young. You have Miles Sanders in the background as well. And by the way, they brought in Hayden Hurst, who's had a lot of success. Granted, Joe Burrow was throwing him the ball over the last couple of seasons, but they bring in Hayden Hurst at the tight end position. You've got a pretty good offensive line. You have a pretty good defense as well. Certainly at the linebacker position, safety position, one of your corners is really good. You're going to need a couple of these other guys to step up. And you have a defensive line that is at least league average to better than league average. So I actually put in our NFL betting guide, I put the Panthers actually as winning this division. And I don't think that that was me trying to get way out of line. You know, I mean, I think that if all these teams play to a baseline, I think the Panthers baseline is about the same as where the Falcons or the Saints are. So I think the only team that is exponentially worse than the other three would be the Bucks. Yeah. And even then, you still have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Baker Mayfield, who has a lot of experience in all that. If they don't end up selling off all the parts throughout the course of the year, would it surprise me if the Bucks were in the mix halfway through the season or three quarters through the season? It actually would not.
Yeah, because, I mean, their defense could be at least decent this year. I don't think they're going to be absolutely terrible. So, I'm with you. I think this division's very wide open. This would be probably of all the favorites, I'm trying to think, probably of all the favorites in any division in football, the least confident I would be in the Saints. I do think I do think based off a roster, it makes sense why they're the favorites here, but I think we've seen this Saints team. I feel like we like that defense, I think, has to play out of this world for them to be really, really a contender in the NFC this year. I mean, Matt, if this team,
for sure,
if this team was in the AFC, we wouldn't even be talking to them as a playoff team, much less winning a division. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think this thing could end up being very, very wide open.
There is, and also, you know, let's just be honest. There's a non-zero chance that Derek Carr's bad. That he's just not good. His best days are behind him. We've seen his ceiling already, and that ceiling is not going to be, you know, come to light here with the Saints team. I mean, that is also a very real possibility. We're assuming Michael Thomas is going to be healthy. We're assuming all these different little things, and I think that a lot of that could end up biting us if you really want to buy into them. Now, the defense should be pretty solid for the Saints. They have some really good pieces, and Granderson and Jordan and May and Tyrann Mathieu. Like they do have some really good pieces on that side of the ball. So I don't know if they're going to be getting blown out a ton, but I don't know if we think that they're going to be getting on the scoreboard a ton either. So I actually did go with the Panthers in this division. I haven't had a bet. We just had to make our official picks right in the betting guide. I don't have a bet in there on the Panthers yet, and that is a yet because I don't know. Maybe I can dig a little bit deeper, and certainly as the training camp reports continue to come out, maybe something will actually push me to put something in the account.
Yeah, I'm same thing here. I think that would be my pick of who's going to win this division based off of the odds. It would be Panthers. I don't know that I'm going to end up exactly with a bet, just because I think there are, when we talk about all these teams, I think there's a lot of wide-ranging outcomes of what we could see with these teams this season. I don't think any of them are going to really threaten to win the NFC or anything like that, but as far as where they're at, bottom dwellers to, you know, a average to slightly above average teams, I think there's a lot of wide ranging outcomes with all four of these teams.
Absolutely. And again, like, I'm not discounting the Falcons. You said a lot of people are betting the Falcons. Yeah. I actually get it, right? Because you have the skill position players. It's just so much depends on Desmond Ridder taking that next step, right? I mean, like, we need Desmond Ridder to make a vast improvement in, you know, look, you go to Pro Football Focus, we understand, is not like the end-all, be-all to everything, but they do watch every single play of every single game and grade these players out. And Desmond Ridder was one of the absolute worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year. Now, you know, he growing pains, et cetera, I get all of that. But he was going to have to take a really big step, and I'm just not willing to assume that he's going to be able to do that. And you spend a very high draft pick on a Bijan Robinson, and that also leads me to believe you almost have to use him a ton. And in today's NFL, if you're not passing the ball, if you're not getting chunk plays and stuff, like, you're going to eventually pay for it. And I think that that's something that we're kind of looking at as well, Kelly. So I don't know. I division is up for grabs. Give me the Panthers. You know what? I'm going to bet them, Kelly. I'm going to do it. Let's just put it in the account. Whenever, look at some baseball here on the other side when we come back. Numbers game on a Monday.